Chapter 33. They went through the west door into Section 8 and made their way down several corridors, Thomas right beside Min Ho as he turned right and left without seeming to think about it, running all the while. The early morning light had a sharp sheen about it, making everything look bright and crisp, the ivy, the cracked walls, the stone blocks of the ground. Though the sun had a few hours before hitting the noon spot up above, there was plenty of light to see by. Thomas kept up with Min Ho as best he could, having to sprint every once in a while to catch back up. They finally made it to a rectangular cut in a long wall to the north that looked like a doorway without a door. Min Ho ran straight through it without stopping.
"This leads from Section 8, the middle left square, to Section 1, the top left square. Like I said, this passage is always in the same spot, but the route here might be a little different because of the walls rearranging themselves."
Thomas followed him, surprised at how heavy his breaths had already become. He hoped it was only jitters, that his breathing would steady soon. They ran down a long corridor to the right, passing several turns to the left. When they reached the end of the passage, Min Ho slowed to barely more than a walk and reached behind him to pull out a notepad and pencil from a side pocket in his backpack. He jotted a note, then put them back, never fully stopping. Thomas wondered what he'd written, but Min Ho answered him before he could pose the question.
"I rely mostly on memory," the keeper huffed,
his voice finally showing a hint of strain.
"But about every fifth turn, I write something down to help me later, mostly just related to stuff from yesterday. What's different today? Then I can use yesterday's map to make today's. Easy peasy, dude."
Thomas was intrigued. Min Ho did make it sound easy. They ran for a short while before they reached an intersection. They had three possible choices, but Min Ho went to the right without hesitating. As he did so, he pulled one of his knives from a pocket and, without missing a beat, cut a big piece of ivy off the wall. He threw it on the ground behind him and kept running.
"Breadcrumbs?"
Thomas asked, the old fairy tale popping into his mind. Such odd glimpses of his past had almost stopped surprising him.
"Breadcrumbs," Min Ho replied. "I'm Hansel, you're Gretel."
On they went, following the course of the maze, sometimes turning right, sometimes turning left. After every turn, Min Ho cut and dropped a 3-foot length of ivy. Thomas couldn't help being impressed. Min Ho didn't even need to slow down to do it.
"All right," the keeper said, breathing heavier now. "Your turn."
"What?" Thomas hadn't really expected to do anything but run and watch on his first day.
"Cut the ivy now. You gotta get used to doing it on the run. We pick 'em up as we come back, or kick 'em to the side."
Thomas was happier than he thought he'd be at having something to do, though it took him a while to become good at it. First couple of times, he had to sprint to catch up after cutting the ivy, and once he nicked his finger. But by his 10th attempt, he could almost match Min Ho at the task. On they went. After they'd run a while, Thomas had no idea for how long or how far, but he guessed 3 miles, Min Ho slowed to a walk, then stopped altogether.
"Break time."
He swung off his pack and pulled out some water and an apple. Thomas didn't have to be convinced to follow Minho's lead. He guzzled his water, relishing the wet coolness as it washed down his dry throat.
"Slow down there, fishhead,"
Min Ho yelped.
"Save some for later."
Thomas stopped drinking, sucked in a big, satisfied breath, then burped. He took a bite of his apple, feeling surprisingly refreshed. For some reason, his thoughts turned back to the day Min Ho and Albi had gone to look at the dead griever, when everything had gone to clunk.
"You never really told me what happened to Albi that day, why he was in such bad shape. Obviously the griever woke up, but what happened?"
Min Ho had already put his backpack on. He looked ready to go.
"Well, Shuk Thing wasn't dead. Albi poked at it with his foot like an idiot, and that bad boy suddenly sprang to life, spikes flaring, its fat body rolling all over him. Something was wrong with it, though. Didn't really attack like usual. It seemed like it was mostly just trying to get out of there, and poor Albi was in the way."
So it ran away from you guys? From what Thomas had seen only a few nights before, he couldn't imagine it. Minho shrugged.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe it needed to get recharged or something. I don't know.
What could have been wrong with it? Did you see an injury or anything? Thomas didn't know what kind of answer he was searching for, but he was sure there had to be a clue or lesson to learn from what happened.
Minho thought for a minute. No, Shuk Thing just looked dead, like a wax statue. Then boom, it was back to life.
Thomas's mind was churning, trying to get somewhere, only he didn't know where or which direction to even start in.
I just wonder where it went. Where they always go. Don't you?
He was quiet for a second, then, haven't you ever thought of following them?
Man, you do have a death wish, don't you? Come on, we gotta go.
And with that, Minho turned and started running. As Thomas followed, he struggled to figure out what was tickling the back of his mind. Something about that griever being dead and then not dead. Something about where it had gone once it sprang to life. Frustrated, he put it aside and sprinted to catch up.